Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's Oh Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your Oh Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
What's up, pet pals? Welcome to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, you're about to meet a very inspiring individual, and she's very candid, too. She was named National Dog Trainer of the Year in 2015, and now she has added a new title, author. She's about to share the inspiring story of life with her own reactive dog. She's doing this in hopes of helping others. The book is called Loving Mick, My Reactive Dog. Please welcome to our show my friend, Laura Christensen. Welcome, welcome, Laura.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Laura and I go well back. We've just got to fill in the gap here for you all. Laura, oh my goodness, almost 10 years ago, maybe 9, 10 years ago, because she's an amazing professional dog trainer and she does help people have their dogs become certified therapy pets. Pet safety dog Kona, everybody, my terrier mix, was trained by Laura, and she is a certified therapy dog thanks to you. So paws up to you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Hey.
She did me proud, actually.
So we're going to dive into what her book is all about, and I bet she's going to help you. But first, we got to take a quick break, and you all know the drill. Sit. Stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. Oh Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Oh Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I have a good person here in the house, and her name is Laura Christensen. She has been a professional certified dog trainer for a number of years. Hey, in 2015, she won the Top Dog Award, the National Dog Trainer of the Year. Please, Laura, tell us a little bit where you're based and what the name of your own dog training company is.
Okay, so I am based in Carlsbad, California since 1992, and my business is called Canine Learning Center.
Nice.
And I have a wonderful training facility, my own 3,000-square-foot training facility right here in Carlsbad.
And I've been there. I used to live in the neighboring town of Oceanside before I moved to Texas. And I can tell you, attest, that you are about to hear from one of the best dog trainers on the planet. She has videos. She has handouts. She teaches a variety of courses. Just to give people an understanding, what got you into the dog training business to begin with?
Well, you know, I always loved animals from the time I was a child, and I loved teaching. So I used to actually line up all of my stuffed animals, and I would be the teacher. So when I started looking for a career, I found something called a humane educator.
Okay.
Where you had to have an elementary education degree, and then you would go into places, you know, like school libraries, schools themselves, et cetera, and teach children about animals.
Nice.
And so while I was doing that, a neighbor who had Irish setters invited me to a training class that she was going to watch. And they had an apprentice program. So I did my darndest to try to be asked into that apprentice program, but my golden retriever had other ideas. He lifted his leg and urinated on me in front of everybody when I tried to get him to do something, and it was kind of a disaster. But lo and behold, they didn't ask me. I ended up asking the owner to lunch and was going to say to her, you know, what suggestions do you have? Where else can I go? And then she invited me to join, and I apprenticed there for 5 years and then came out here in 92 and started my own business.
So what was the name of the golden who piddled on you?
Dugan.
Dugan. Dugan. At least he didn't do a doo-doo.
That's true. But you know what? Had I known then what I know now, I don't think that would have happened. I think he'd have been much more responsive. You know, it's a process here.
So, you and I go way back. I love all that you do. And you've been training. Do you have any idea of how many people you've actually trained in various levels of dog courses?
Thousands. I never actually counted them, but I mean, over the years, I would say thousands.
Wow.
You know, I guess I maybe trained, see, maybe 500 people a year, 600 people a year.
That's impressive.
That's a lot of people.
Do you ever walk around Carlsbad and a dog notices you, kind of like a kid notices their teacher in a grocery store? And does a dog do any kind of like, oh my God, there's my teacher, Laura?
Well, that's funny. Usually first the human does it, and I don't recognize them, you know, if they don't have their dog. So, you know, they go, hi, and I go, hi, and I go, oh, this must be one of my students. If they have their dog with them, then that saves me, and I, you know, usually recognize, because I always recognize the dogs first.
And I bet the dogs recognize you.
They do. They do.
That's nice.
I get lots of little love letters. You know, my dog hears your voice on the videos and they come running. And, you know, people ask me for recordings of my voice.
You've done a lot of dogs good and you've helped people. And I know it's challenging because training people might be a little bit more tricky than training dogs. But you do both species because you want the dog to bring out the best in the dog. So you have a favorite breed. Let's just say it because I can't pronounce it.
Belgian Tervuren.
Belgian Tervuren. Why? Why that breed?
You know, probably like most people, when I first started looking through a dog book when I was going to get a dog, I saw this picture and it's like, oh, that is the most gorgeous dog I've ever seen. And when I finally met one in person, it just sealed the deal. I'm on my sixth now, my sixth Belgian.
How are they different than the Malinois, which seems to be the police dog?
The Malinois, used by the police, is a little bit more intense.
Okay.
And a little more compact, maybe, slightly. But Spice actually has a father from Europe, and she's like a Malinois.
Okay. So you mentioned you have now had six.
She's number six. Spice is number six.
Okay. So Now we're going to get to your book. And I do want everybody to get the book. It is available on Amazon. It is called, the whole title, please. It is called Loving Mick, My Reactive Dog, How an Award-Winning Dog Trainer Learned to Help Her Own Reactive Dog. So tell us how you met Mick. And I guess you're living in beautiful, sunny California, but wasn't Mick a puppy in Michigan?
Yes, he was a puppy in Michigan. And I had gotten two other dogs from this same breeder in Michigan. So at the time, I just had Grace, and Mick came to us at 8.5 weeks old, and we just fell head over heels in love with them. And, you know, everything appeared to be going smoothly for a very short amount of time until it wasn't.
All right. So let's dive in, because I guess I want to ask a question that I'm going to have you answer maybe later on, too. Why? Why were you so inspired? Of all the dogs that you've trained, of all the dogs that you've had, what was it about Mick that made you say, I need to share this story?
Mick was like no other dog that I had ever met or encountered. And he really was a handful. I had no idea what to do with him. And it was like, he's my boy. I love him more than anything. And I need to figure this out. And it took me on a journey. And wow, what a journey of learning it was. So yeah, he's special. He's special for sure.
And how has that appreciation of that challenge impacted you as a dog trainer today when you're meeting people that might have a challenging dog?
I think it really taught me to open my eyes and see what was in front of me and to figure out how to work with it.
So if you were Webster's Dictionary right now, because, you know a lot, what is your definition of a reactive dog? And I think even in your book, you mentioned, up to 75% of dogs may show some sort of reactivity. So what is that?
A reactive dog is a dog that tends to get very overstimulated by certain things. It could be dogs, it could be little kids, it could be people.
Yeah.
You know, it could be squirrels, whatever. They get very overstimulated, they fixate, they may start barking and lunging, and they can be very difficult to control and contain.
And isn't it a little impossible when a dog is in the reactive stage? You know, I don't think that's a time for treat or sit, stay.
Once the adrenaline goes up and the dog is in that state, no force, nothing you can do can stop it. If they get to that point, you immediately have to remove them from the situation.
So, okay, so that segues into Mick. So I don't want to give away everything in the book because I want people to buy your book, but it's really good, folks. You know, you took him to a puppy class and you started seeing some things.
So I took him to a class and it was actually someone that had worked with me for a very long time. And I was just, caught up in the excitement. They were so happy for me and they were making a big deal and everybody was saying how cute he was.
How old was Mick at the time?
He had just turned 10 weeks old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I was really caught up in that excitement and I guess that focus on me and how cute he was. And I wasn't really reading the fact that he was saying, you're going way too fast here. This is really overwhelming for me. It's way too much.
So what happened?
So, in the beginning, he, kind of listened to me and he would take treats. And as they started progressing with the socialization exercise where he had to interact with other people, I could tell that he would, he refused some treats. He would give a lot of body signals indicating that he was stressed. He'd be blinking his eyes and yawning and, and being still and even, had sweaty paw pads, which is a sign of stress. And, and I just kind of went like, oh, he'll warm up. It's all good. Everybody thinks he's cute and everybody thinks this is great. So I just kind of dismissed it when I shouldn't have.
Then you were in an agility class and something happened.
Yep. So now fast forward.
And it's an indoor agility class, which I also want to make that distinction.
Yeah. So fast forward, with some of the experiences that he had and, and some of the reactivity. And someone came into the class and they had a super high energy black lab. And that caused Mick to be very stressed and very concerned that that dog was going to come into his space. So it took a lot of maneuvering and managing, to keep that dog out of his space. And then also he had zero impulse control. I didn't know how to bring him down once he would get super excited about.
So what does that mean, the term zero impulse control?
So basically, so with the reactivity, he would say, oh, I'm really excited, and then he would start barking and, not listening and just kind of going crazy. And there was no way for me to reel him in. And he caused a big ruckus in the class. The owner got annoyed and said, this is a problem. We need to contain his barking. And she said, why don't we put an electronic collar on him?
Oh, hell to the no.
And I said, no, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't think that that is a good idea. And so she tried to talk me into it. She explained how it worked and, let's put this on and this is going to do this. And I said, no, it that I don't want to do that. And I said, you know what, we'll leave class. And I said, let me work with him some more. I'm going to work with him really hard to try to contain his you know, impulses and his excitement. And can we come back at the next session? So I kind of talked her into it. She very reluctantly agreed. And so when we went back to that first session again, that was when this black lab was there. And the first day I had him under control. I had to be very firm, you know, very corrective with him. Let's say maybe a little punitive. And he was kind of surprised because he knew that I never treated him that way. But he listened to me. But as the class started progressing in the weeks, it got harder and harder and harder to control him. And he started the barking. And then the instructor suggested, well, let's put him in the crate, you know, while he waits his turn to go on the floor, which was a bad idea because he wasn't used to that. So it just brought his stress up. And when it was our turn, he started barking and he wouldn't listen to me. And he jumped up at me. And his tooth caught me right here on this delicate part of your skin. And I started gushing
under the chin. Okay.
Yeah, right under the chin here. And I mean, everybody, I remember, they just gasped in horror.
Carotid artery is kind of near there.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, everybody was just like horrified that I had this horribly aggressive dog. And we left and we were kicked out, but it didn't matter. Because at that point, the light bulb went on and, you know, I said to myself, I can't control this boy. I need help.
All right. So we're speaking with Laura Christensen. She is a professional dog trainer, actually National Dog Trainer of the Year from 2025. And she wrote a new book called Loving Mick, My Reactive Dog. We're going to continue this after we take this quick break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
We wear fur and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside. Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Brandon McMillan, host of Lucky Dog on CBS. And I want to invite you all to listen to Arden Moore on the O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. Trust me when I say it's good, good, good.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O'Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. On our show today is a remarkable woman named Laura Christensen. You in the Southern California area, Carlsbad, San Diego area, check her out. If you have a dog, she knows how to train dogs. And what I think this book is telling us all, Laura, is that you had this beautiful dog you loved, and there's so many lessons that you learned from Mick's short life, right?
Yes, yes.
And let's let the cat out of the bag. You actually approached me and said you want to write a book. So why would you want to write a book about a situation like this rather than a pat on the back about how many great dogs you've trained?
You know, it was a book that needed to be written. Number one, to honor Mick. Number two, to honor everyone else that has a reactive dog and to do my best to help them with that because it is so, so common. And I see people making all of the mistakes that I made with Mick. They will keep taking their dog into a situation that causes them stress and they just keep doing it over and over and over, hoping for a different result. But what actually happens is the dog becomes worse. The behavior becomes more ingrained. And so there is a way to not get to that point.
Well, in your book, you do tell the story of Mick, but you also have a whole section on tips for people. And you also have some advice for people who have non-reactive dogs meeting right. a reactive dog. Can you share a tip about that? Because they have this perfect dog who's easygoing, and a person has another dog that is reactive.
Yes.
What can you share?
Yeah, just even if you have a friendly, outgoing dog, please do not assume that everyone else has a friendly, outgoing dog. You do need to be respectful of space. You wouldn't go up to a stranger, you know, and, hey, how are you doing? And get into their space and give them, you know, a big
hug.
Will
you be my Facebook friend?
Hopefully not. Yeah, hopefully not. So it's the same thing with dogs. You need to be respectful. Just because your dog wants to go and say hi doesn't mean that they should. They should be calm. They should be in control. If you do want them to meet another dog, ask the owner if it's okay.
Yes. Politeness never goes out of style,
yeah.
does it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have in your book on page 57, I know you haven't memorized it, but you say, how do you teach your dog to have a little self-control, especially dogs that might be reactive?
So I think people always reinforce their dogs for excitement. And it's hard. You know, they come home and the dog's jumping. Hi! You know, oh, he's
yeah.
so cute. Oh, he just wants to say hi. Oh, you know, I don't want to stop him. I don't want to, you know, spike his personality, you know, et cetera. So it's teaching the dog to be calm and polite. And you can do that all around with your interactions. Let's wait before you get your food. Let's wait before you step out the door. Let's wait before I put your leash on.
Good.
Wait before I throw the toy, any kind of a situation that you can think of, just request calm and wait until it happens and then reinforce that behavior.
I like it.
Yeah, that gets reinforced, tends to start repeating itself.
Yeah, I have Kona and Emma, my two dogs, and they get rewarded for having doggy manners at dinner. They have to sit, stay, and then the bowl's down. They look at me and then I say calmly, okay, and then they go eat. Away from each other, so there's no stress. But yeah, I think doggy manners never goes out of style, does it?
Never.
Never. So with Mick, you mentioned that there are some mental and emotional factors involving reactivity in dogs. I know it's a science that hasn't been completely solved, but can you talk about that? What could make a dog reactive?
You know, they always talk about nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
I always think that it's, you know, it's always both. Some dogs just have a predisposition to view something as stressful. And when they view something as stressful and the owner doesn't see it and they keep kind of putting them into that situation, the dog will usually almost always give cues. This is too much. I'm uncomfortable, just like Mip did. And they keep pushing it and insisting on it. Next thing you know, the dog will say, okay, well, I've been trying to tell you and you're not listening. I need to do something else. So reactivity in and of itself, it's not a positive trait, but it's not aggression.
Yeah. Explain that. What does that mean?
So it's not aggression. It actually is they're doing a favor. They're saying, I'm uncomfortable. I'm telling you, please give me space. Please stay away. And if that's not respected and other dogs keep getting the dog, reactive dog will say, all right, they're just not getting the message. Now I got to go to plan B, which can become aggression.
Gotcha. Well, I'm trained as a fear-free speaker and, you know, FAS, fear, anxiety, stress. And I've been taught that, you know, a dog you approach not feeling comfortable about the approach can freeze, fidget, flee, or fight.
Right.
It sounds like us humans, we only have two legs and two eyeballs, Laura. It sounds like we need to stop and start paying attention to our dogs more in dog people situations. It seems like we kind of just go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You know, we really need to see. I think that I can compare it to just any kind of a task that you do, where it's like if you take the time to see it, to do it right, you have a good result. And most of the time we're just going so fast and we miss it. Because the cues are always there. We just miss them.
So you see people walking their dogs. I try my best to have Kona and Emma kind of walk with me. But then I let them go to sniff because I know it's important. But I never put them on one of those retractable leashes.
Right.
Please tell me I'm being a good girl, Arden. Good girl.
Yes, you are being a very good girl. Retractable leashes can be a hazard. So that's not to say you have a regular 6-foot leash that you can't allow your dog to sniff and have a good time. But here's the compromise. My dog can heel, which means being right at my left side and paying attention, sit, when I do, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the loose leash walking. Can't say that fast, but loose leash walking, basically saying you can go to the end of the leash and sniff as long as there is nothing more than mild tension on the leash. If you go to yank me, we have to go, oh no, we're going to kind of do a little circle and reset.
Good. Yes. Instead of heel, I always say to Kona and Emma, walk nicely.
Yes.
And they walk nicely. And during the walk now, I always have a bag of treats, but, every once in a while they look back at me like, is it treat time? And I ignore it. And then when they're not looking, I'll say, hey, sit. And they sit, they look at me, and then I reach in to get them a treat. Why is it so important, that timing sequence versus showing the treat and then saying sit?
You want a dog to do a behavior first, and then you tell them they're right. And then you reward it. And that's so different. I mean, I'll never forget the first time that Spice was off leash in a, safe, appropriate area. She got way ahead of me. And all of a sudden she turned and looked at me. And I went, yeah, amazing. And she looked at you. Oh, yeah, I meant to do that. She came right up to
so
me.
So mark good behaviors.
Yes. And she's like, this was my idea. And it's been her idea ever since.
Now, this is going to make me cry, but I'm not as enough as you, I'm sure. But I love your dedication in your book, Loving Mick, My Reactive Dog. You write in the dedication, you actually dedicate this book to Mick. And you say, to my beloved Mick, I wouldn't change a thing. You inspired me to be a better person and trainer. I don't think a day goes by where you don't think of Mick, but talk about that.
Absolutely not. So, he's always in my heart and the lessons that he taught me. It was all for a reason. If I didn't experience any of that, I wouldn't have been able to figure out, how to help him and therefore figure out how to help other people.
So when did the book come out?
The book actually came out, probably about 6 weeks ago.
Okay, so talk about how it's been since you've now added the title author.
You know what? I think that right after I won the National Dog Trainer of the Year, I knew deep inside that I had a talent and I was good, but it caused other people to acknowledge that, maybe some people that might not have initially. And I think that I've always had, good respect, since that. But with this now, it's like, wow, this is somebody that I want to bring my dog and I want to work with her and I want to train my dog. And so, people look to me now even more than they did.
Well, you know why? Because don't we learn from our disappointments and our setbacks better than if you were Miss Laura Christensen, AI dog trainer? I don't think I would want you as my dog trainer.
Yeah. And I started with a dog lifting his leg and
that's right, the culprit
out of my ears. So, it's like that humbled me. So every time that I, look at someone and they're not doing the right thing, I just, think to myself, you need to be patient. You started there.
That's right. What is something that dogs have taught you to be a better two-legger?
Just to really see and to accept they are who they are. They were born a certain way and the experiences that they had created the behavioral template. And you need to see that. You need to accept them for who they are and treat them how they need to be treated for their temperament and their experiences. Really just like people, completely parallels. You can't change them. They're not going to be the way you want them to be or you had hoped or.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like if I come back as a dog, I'm going to be a goofy Labrador retriever. What would the breed be for you and why? And I'm hoping, I don't know if it's going to be that certain breed you love or your own personality. What would be your dog breed and why?
Well, I guess that no one's ever asked me that question. I know that when I actually took a quiz online, it labeled me as a Chihuahua. I don't think that is the case, but I think I would probably be a Belgian.
Okay.
I think that our personalities are pretty much the same. So I would be a Belgian. Yeah.
How, again, can people learn more about you, Laura Christensen?
They can go to my website. It's the letter K, the number 9, LRNG.com.
Canine learning, but in a fun way.
Right.
And the book is also available where?
On Amazon. They can purchase it on Amazon, or if they attend my classes, they can purchase it through me.
And get your paw graph.
Yes.
All right. Well, we are so delighted to have you on the show. You were taking on a tough topic, and you presented it with honesty, and I do appreciate it. I miss you. You're a good person. It's hot here in Dallas.
That's what I hear.
But I still reinforce my girls some of the things that I learned from you. So thank you for that. Hey, at this time, Pet Pals, that's it for our show today. I want to again give big thanks to our very, very special guest, National Dog Trainer of the Year. Get her book, Loving Mick. She is Laura Christensen. Big thanks to all of you tuning in. Shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the producer of all the shows on Pet Life Radio. And humbly, this show you are listening to right now has been on the air since 07. We are the longest running weekly pet podcast on the planet. And I did that without popping my peas. So, you want to learn more about me? Please go to ardenmore.com. Check out my YouTube channel. And my passion is safety. And so please go to Pet First Aid for You, where I teach veterinary approved courses in a fun, practical way with Pet Safety Dog Kona and, you ready for it, Pet Safety Cat Casey. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.